heavenly Jerusalem, which is the mother of all that is truly redeemed. Zion is a holy people made ready as a bride adorned. Church, can I tell you that Elijah company that I'm talking about tonight has been detached from this world and we're wholly devoted to Christ. Are you hearing what I'm saying tonight? The Elijah company that in this end time hour is going to be a people that is detached from this world and our hearts are totally and devoted to Christ and Christ alone. We're not looking for an earthly kingdom because we're looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. I'm going to tell you, people, in this end time hour, we're going to become like Paul the Apostle in Galatians, there, chapter number 6. He said, the world has been crucified to me, and I have been crucified to the world. What is that saying to you and I? That's simply saying that this world cannot charm me no more. This world cannot lure me in anymore by its trickery and its charms. Why? Because I have been crucified to this world, and the world crucified to me, meaning that I am sold out to God. I'm on the cross. I'm bearing the cross. I'm doing all that God has called me to do, and because of it, this world can't lure me. This world can't charm me. I'm not of this world. I'm from another world. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Praise God.
That's the Elijah company. This world, this government that we have, spends thousands and millions of dollars looking for aliens and UFOs. Well, there's about 20 of us here tonight. Hallelujah. The Bible says we're pilgrims and aliens. Hallelujah. Well, this world is not our home. We're from another world. Yes, sir, this world that we live in is going to blow up. But thank God it's not our world. Thank God that's not our world. We're from another world. We've been born from above. We're blood bought, victory sought. When we come to the altar, my God, we got caught. Hallelujah. 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 We're from another world. We are detached from this world. Church, let me tell you, don't sink too deep into the soil of this earth. Keep your head up and your feet moving. We're on our way somewhere, folks. We're going to a land that's brighter than day. Hallelujah. We're going to a land where Jesus rules, where the Lamb is the light. They won't be no electric bills coming in because He is the light of that world.
No, hallelujah to God.
I long to go there. The Apostle Paul had a desire to go there. He said, I have a desire to depart, but to stay is more beneficial to you. He said, I'm caught between the two. He said, I want to go, but it's more beneficial to you that I stay. I know what he's feeling. There's times that I just want to go. There's times that this world gets too heavy, too hot. There's times the load seems too heavy, and it seems like I just want to go to heaven. It would be better if I just went on, but I know it's more beneficial to people if I stay here, because I do know one thing. I am a voice, hallelujah, that is crying in the midst of a dark world. I know there's a lot of people don't like what I've got to say, because I come with those sharp words from God. And they know it's going to penetrate their heart. But I do know that I've been called from above, chosen by God. I've been moved on by the Holy Ghost to tell the world to get out of their sin, come to Jesus, and let the Holy Ghost rule your heart.
Yes, amen.
Woo! Somebody ought to praise God tonight if you're glad to be part of the Elijah Company. The Elijah Company is a people. The Elijah company are a wilderness people to whom the word of the Lord is going to be sent to. Luke 3 verse 2 says, Ananias and Caiaphas, Cephas, being the high priest, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. Now I love that. Every time I read that voice, I mean that verse, it just makes me want to shout. Because the Bible said that the word of God was sent to a man in the wilderness. Now that's not the first time God came to a man in the wilderness, was it? He came to Moses on the backside of a desert. And here the Bible said the word of God was sent to a wilderness man. Now the Holy Ghost, now listen to this. the Holy Ghost bypassed the entire religious system, the rabbinical schools, the educated Pharisees and scribes, even the highest officials of the church, and sent the true word of God to a man that was shut up with God in the wilderness. The word came to John, to a man outside of every religious body of that day, to a man educated by the Holy Spirit alone. The religious big shots, those pious church officials, had not a single word from God. They could drone on for hours, exhorting dead scriptures, but they had nothing fresh and life-giving from the throne of God. And hear me tonight, I believe God in these last days is looking for some men and women who have been shut in with God. And when God finds a man or a woman that's been shut in with Him, He is going to fill their hearts with the Word of Almighty God. And let me tell you tonight, church, if there's one thing that's going to bring you out of the muck and the mire, if there's one thing that's going to lift you up above the shadows and plant your feet on higher ground, if there's one thing that's going to bring you out of your confusion, if there's one thing that's going to bring you out of your doubt and unbelief, it's the Word of Almighty God. I want to tell you, saint of God, if you've not had a word for a while, why don't you shut yourself up in the closet somewhere? Get along with God in the wilderness. There will be a word that's sent to your heart that lifts you up and encourages you to go forward in greater power and authority. John was different than everybody else. John was in line to be the next high priest. His daddy worked in the temple. He burned incense. And if you was a priest of that day, you had a different appetite. You had to eat certain things. But John had a different appetite than his father. His father ate priestly food. But John's ate locust and wild honey. What is that saying to us? I'm saying, folks, those of you that shut in with God, that's praying and seeking God, you're going to have a different appetite than that world. Hallelujah. This world lacks one thing. This world craves one thing. This world craves this. This world craves that. But those of you that's been shut in with God, that's praying and seeking God, you're going to have a different appetite. Glory. Your appetite's going to be the things of God. You're going to love getting up and talking to God. You're going to love opening the Word of God. There's just something about getting along with God that drives you, that excels you, that you can't wait, hallelujah, to get out of that bed and get along with God, because you know God is going to meet you there.
Amen.
There's just something about that. John had a different appetite than everybody else. I could see old John coming out of that wilderness with a piece of grasshopper hanging out of his mouth. Had a piece of leg over here. I can see old John dipping that locust inside that honey vat and eating it. You know what that honey is? That's the Word of God. Folks, I want to tell you, get in the Word of God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Eat it, devour it, get it down in your soul. You see, the priests, people, those priests, they wore certain garments. But John had a different garment that he wore. He wore camel skins and goat skins around his waist. He had a different dress than everybody else. Can I tell you, that child of God that walks with God, he ain't going to dress like everybody else. He's going to live righteous, walk righteous, talk righteous. Everything about him is going to be pure and holy. Woo! And the Bible said that the Word of God came to John in the wilderness. Folks, we're a wilderness people. People look at us like we're strange. They don't understand why we go to church on Friday night. You could be out here doing 1,000 other things on Friday, but you chose to be in church, and people say, that's strange. No, to us, they're strange. Do you know what a nerd is? I ain't talking about the candies we eat. A nerd, according to Webster's Dictionary, is somebody that refuses to be part of the cool crowd. Well, folks, a nerd is those folks, B because they don't want to be part of the cool crowd. Right here's the cool crowd.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
And I have to say, because there's a lot of nerves in hell tonight. Because they don't want to be part of the cool crowd. Hallelujah. I like being part of the cool crowd.
Yes.
I like the air conditioning, don't you? That's the cool crowd. That's heaven, folks. Hallelujah. I'm not going to the hot crowd where there is no air conditioning. I'm going to heaven where it's cool every day.
Amen.
That's the cool crowd. They look at us and say, we're nerds. We're not the nerds. They are. We're walking with God. We're living for God. Let me tell you tonight, folks. Let me tell you what separates us. It's not because they drink and we don't. It's not because they smoke and we don't smoke. What separates us from that world is that we're twice born men and women separated to God by a new birth.
Right.
Hallelujah. We've been born again. We've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. That's what separates us. That's what takes us and makes us different than everybody else is the blood of the Lamb.
Yes, it is.
And the Word of God came to John in the wilderness. The Word bypassed all the highfalutin officials. And as Caiaphas, the high priest, the Word wasn't sent to them. It was sent to a man on the backside of the desert.
Yeah.
He wasn't educated by them. Everything John learned, he learned by the Holy Ghost educated.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Folks, I'm going to tell you what we need today. We need to be educated by the Holy Ghost.
Right.
I'm going to tell you, today we got a lot of people today in our pulpits. They're educated by man. And there's nothing wrong with education. Don't get me wrong. God does not promote ignorance. Nothing wrong with education. But if you let that education take the place of the Holy Spirit teaching you the Word of God. I want to tell you, no man can open this Word. The Bible said flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, Peter. It was revealed to you by my Father who is in heaven. Flesh and blood cannot reveal the Word of God to you. It's going to take the Holy Spirit. It's going to take the Holy Ghost. If you're going to learn the Word, then you've got to get in the move of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost is the only one that can truly teach us the Word of God.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
But we rely on a lot of thousand other avenues. I'll get into that here in a minute. Now John was non-materialistic, separated. John was God-consumed and possessed by a single vision. What was he possessed by? What was John's single vision? The coming Christ. John knew that he was come to prepare the way of the Lord. John understood that Christ was coming. And church, listen to me tonight. How we must become like John in this hour. We must become God-consumed, separated, possessed with the thought, Jesus is coming. John's ministry is proof that no one should ever claim to speak for God or denounce sin unless he or she has truly been given a word from God. I want to tell you tonight, the scoffers, the doubters, the unbelievers, they can say Jesus isn't coming. But I'm going to tell you, He is coming.
Amen.
He is still coming.
Amen.
He may come morning, night, or noon. He may come before we get done preaching tonight. Oh, hallelujah. I'm looking for Him, church. The Bible said, and I believe it's in Hebrews 9, verse 27. The Bible says, and Jesus shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation to those that are looking for Him. Honey, I'm going to tell you, if you're not looking for Him, when He comes, you're not going. You better keep your eyes to the sky. You better keep your heart set because He is coming in an hour that you think not. He's going to catch people unaware. He's going to catch a lot of saints sleeping. Don't become one of those slumbering saints that miss the rapture of the church. Now, Elijah the prophet, he came on the scene in the midst of Israel's darkest hour of wickedness. Ahab provoked the Lord more than any other king that Israel ever had. Out of the wilderness, isn't that something? Out of the wilderness of Gilead came Elijah the Tishbite to confront Ahab and backslidden Israel. Elijah thundered, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." This is the ministry mold of Elijah Company. Let me say that again. This is the ministry mold of the Elijah Company. The Lord liveth before whom I stand. Church, let me say it. The Lord is alive. Jesus is alive. He come out of the ground. He ascended to the throne. He's ever living now to make intercession for you and I. The ministry mode of the Elijah Company is the Lord liveth before whom I stand. Now this speaks of a people shut up with God in the school of Christ. A body of awakened saints who refuse to be tainted and warped by the teachings and traditions of unspiritual, self-centered teachers and egocentric shepherds. These have mostly given up trying to receive a true word from the religious hierarchy, who are bound by narrow denominational doctrines. They have found themselves in a wilderness of confusion, hungry for a soul-stirring word from God that would witness to their inner man that it was sent from God. And because they can't find a word from the hierarchy of the church, these wilderness people, what do? They go directly to God's holy word to seek truth for themselves. And let me tell you tonight what sweet relief it is to turn off all tapes for a season, to lay aside all books, to be shut up with nothing but the word of God in your hand. And they wept, they sought for truth as though they were looking for a priceless pearl. And because they stand before God away from all other clamoring voices, the word of God came to them and the fire of God got shut up in their bones. Let me tell you today, they are a people that are sitting in pews week after week, sitting there dying because the preacher has no fresh word, no fresh revelation from God's word. It's dead and it's killing everybody it sits under. But those people are coming to the place now that they have come there and they shut themselves up with God. They turn off the tapes, they turn off television, they turn off the preaching, and all they want is the word of God to speak to their heart. And when they come out of that prayer closet, there is a fire shut up in their bones that the devil won't be able to put out.
Bless God.
Amen. Amen.
Bless God.
There's got to come a time in your life, church, that you shut off all preaching tapes, that you shut off all preaching on the television. Will you get along with nothing but this Bible, and this Bible talks to you for a while? If we would spend half as much time in this book as we do listening to people preaching that book, from tapes and television, we would find our hearts so on fire for God. There's nothing wrong with listening to people. But I come to a season, I went through a season about, 6 months ago, where I listened to preaching all the time on that television. I listened to swag all the time on television. I just went through that season. But for the last 4 months, I haven't hardly listened to a sermon on a tape. I haven't listened to a whole sermon on a television because I've been so consumed by this book. And it's been feeding me, Grandpa. Amen. It's been talking to me. Woo! And I want to tell you, it'll talk to you. It'll put a fire down in your heart. It'll put something down. It will put a spring back in your step. It'll put a smile back on your face. Let's get along with God. Let's let the Holy Book talk to our hearts again.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. Is there any wilderness people in here tonight? Are you willing to shut yourself in with God and allow God to talk to you for a while?
Amen.
You see, this world is in a crisis. The church is in a crisis. And people, I'm going to tell you, you're not going to find your answers on CBN Evening News. You're not going to find your answers on Fox Evening News. You're going to find your answers right here in the word that I hold in my hand. The unchangeable, the infallible, the inalterable word of God. That's where you've got to start digging for your answers at, folks.
That's right.
Now, Jeremiah, the prophet, he belonged to God. He belonged to the Elijah Company who stood before God, to receive a true word from God. Jeremiah 15, verses 19 through 20 says, "If thou wilt return, then will I bring thee again. And thou shalt stand before me. And if thou take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. And I will make thee unto this people a brass wall. And they shall fight against thee, but they will not be able to prevail. For I am with thee to save thee and deliver thee, saith the Lord." Now God told Jeremiah, He said, if you'll come and stand before me. Folks, that is being locked up in your prayer closet. That's being locked up with God. He said, if you'll come and stand before me. He said, I will be in your mouth. He said, if you'll begin to discern the holy from the unholy and separate the two. He said, then I'll make you a brass wall around you that the enemy can't penetrate. Folks, I want a brass wall around me. If you'll begin to do that, if you'll stand before God day and night and seek God and take and separate the vile from the precious, He said, I'll put a wall around you. Folks, I'm going to tell you, we need a wall around us. I want a wall around my kids. They go to schools that is full of the devil. Just the other day in Ohio, you've been seeing the news where that kid walked in and killed some other kids, shot 15 others, wounded them. This happens all the time. Our kids need to be covered in the blood.
That's right.
It's almost to the point you want to pull them out and homeschool them.
That's right.
My wife wants to do that. And maybe if the Lord would get to bless us a little bit more, where finances would come in, where she wouldn't have to work and go to school, I'd pull them out and let her homeschool them. Because I don't want some mad, crazed, possessed teenager to come in there and shoot them down. Folks, we're living in a wicked world. We need to get before God. We need to stand before God. We need heaven to come to our aid. Oh, I need to hurry. I've been preaching a long time. I still got 6 more pages. I'm going to hurry. The Elijah Company, they're called troublemakers. That Elijah Company is us. They are troublers who infuriate a backslidden religious system and corrupt Christians. They are hated as Jesus was when he testified against them that their deeds were evil. They hated Jesus because he brought to light their evil deeds. Ahab went out to meet Elijah and sneeringly asked, "Art thou he that troubleth Israel?" Imagine for a minute with me. This corrupted maid of Jezebel accusing a holy prophet of causing division, trouble, and strife among God's people. Ahab was so blinded by his own sin to recognize the prophetic voice of God. To him, Elijah was nothing more than a troublemaker. Elijah boldly looked Ahab in the face, pointing his finger and said, "Son, I'm not the one troubling Israel. You're the one that's troubling Israel. You have forsaken the commands of God. You have followed Baal and you tore down the altars of God. You're the troublemaker."
Yeah.
Who are the real troublemakers in the house of God today, church? Is it not the Elijah Company who sigh and cry over the abominations done in the church? Is it not those who expose sin and testify against those that are at ease in Zion? All division is caused by compromise. Hear that. All division in God's house is caused by compromise. All trouble in God's house is the result of apostasy and forsaking the Lord's commandments. James 3:16 says, "Where envy and strife is, there is every evil work." In Acts 16:20, Paul and Silas was brought before the magistrates of the city of Philippi, having been accused of exceedingly troubling the city. They were beaten and cast into prison as a result of the trouble they had caused. Now, what exactly was the trouble that Paul and Silas caused? They cast the devil out of a little girl who brought her master's money by soothsaying. And when her master saw that the hope of their money making was lost, they caught Paul and Silas and put them in prison. Well, church, if casting out a devil out of someone is troublemaking, then it's my prayer more troublemakers would arise to the occasion.
Amen.
Woo! That's my prayer, folks. God, give us more troublers of Israel who are not afraid to stand up against the religious hypocrisy and disobedience. The Elijah Company has nothing to lose because they have already taken joyfully the spoiling of their goods. It is a despised way. The Elijah Company, church, it is a despised way. It's a path of rejection, loneliness, and deep godly sorrow. Day by day, the Holy Spirit reveals more and more of God's heartbreak over the sins of His people. It seems as if Christ Himself begins to weep through our eyes over the lack of holiness in His church. And the more time we spend with God, the clearer the Word becomes until a fire is burning in your spiritual bones that says, woe is me if I keep silent. Church, the more you stand before God, the more God begins to talk to you and more you despise compromise in your own life.
Amen.
There's times that as you alone with God and you begin to weep, it's as if Christ begins to weep through you, begins to weep through your eyes. Today I was at home praying, and it seemed like God began to take hold of me. And it's as if God began to weep through my eyes, Grandpa. Like tears began to come, and it was as if Christ was weeping through my own eyes. I felt what He felt. I felt what He feels over the laziness of the church, over the condition of His church. Folks, it breaks my heart because it breaks God's heart. When the church should be a church full of power and anointing and in a vibrancy, it seems like the church just seems to be dead, this lifeless. But I'm going to tell you, God in this end time hour is beginning to stir the remnant up. There is a remnant that's beginning to be stirred up, and God is beginning to pray through and talk through. Oh, hallelujah. And I believe that remnant is in this house tonight. The Elijah Company is a weeping people. Are you hearing me? The Elijah Company is a weeping people. Any prophetic word that comes from their lips is bathed in prayer and tears. They have a glimpse of the awesome holiness of Christ, and their own past sins have crushed them. Now in brokenness and godly sorrow, they walk in repentance. They preach it and will never back away from showing God's people their transgression. They refuse to wink at sin, and they fear no man or devil when it comes to standing up for the honor of Christ. That's the Elijah Company. We weep. We've been crushed over our sins. Folks, have you been to the place where your sins have crushed you? If your sins hadn't crushed you, then I have to wonder if you're even born again. Because God, when you come to Christ, those sins will crush you. When you really see that you have broken the God's heart, that will crush you. It has crushed me. And the tears that I shed and the words that I say doesn't come from hard heart. It comes from a weeping heart. I know there's things that I say that seem rough at times, but let me say it comes from a weeping, repentant heart. I have wept, I have cried over the things that God has told me to say. It's not like I want to get up here and say these things, but I know that God has put a word in my heart. It's not just a sermon. It is a message from God. There's a difference in having a sermon and a message. I want a message. We've heard sermons. We need messages that stir the people. Now I'm closing here just in a minute. My last little point here. Turn with me to Luke 9. The word that comes tonight, the word that comes to the Elijah Company is a Christ-centered word. Are you hearing me? The words that come from the Elijah Company will be a Christ-centered word. Luke chapter 9, real fast. Verse 28 through 31 says, and it came to pass about the 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter, James, and John and went to the mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the passion of his countenance was altered. His raiment became white and glistening. And behold, there talked to him two men, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which had come at Jerusalem. And Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. When they awake, they saw the glory, and they that were with him. Skip down to verse 35. And the Bible said, verse 34, and while they yet spake, there came a cloud overshadowed them. They feared as they entered into the cloud. And then there came a voice that said, this is my beloved Son, hear him. And when the voice was passed, Jesus was left alone. Now listen to me. God made a statement to his church in this passage of Scripture that must not be misunderstood. God was saying to Peter and to all of those that have ears to hear, no more Jewish temple with all of its walls of partition, no more distinction between Jews and Gentiles, no more shedding the blood of bulls and goats. It is Christ and Christ alone. No more types and shadows. Christ, the reality, has now come. No more buildings made with hands. No more earthly kingdom. No earthly Jerusalem. No more buildings upon Moses. The house now belongs to Christ. No more futurism. The kingdom is now. Not some Jewish millennial age, but now Christ is king. Now he rules and reigns in the hearts of his bondservants. Elijah's prophecies have been fulfilled. My son is the builder of the house of David that has fallen down. The kingdom has come. Christ Jesus is the temple. He is even now building his holy city. Hear ye him. Christ is everything that we must be centered upon in this hour and time. Church, what a picture. Moses and Elijah came. But Moses and Elijah disappear. And there stands nothing but Jesus. God's mandate ringing in the ears of the disciples. Hear him. What does this mean to Elijah Company? The extinguishing mark of the Elijah Company today is this. They have eyes to see, ears to hear, and a pure heart to obey all that the Lord has spoken. Folks, everything that we do in this end time hour must be focused and centered on Christ. Anything else will falter. I don't know about you today, church, but I'm glad to be part of the Elijah Company.
Amen.
Are you glad tonight? Amen. Do you want to be part of that Elijah Company? Let's all come tonight. Let's gather around. Let's pray for a little while. Let's thank God that we are part of this end time Elijah Company. Let us come. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we love you tonight. We praise you and magnify you and adore you, Lord.